typical morning. So I wanted to take a few minutes and kind of explain to those of us who don't already know how amazing our kids are. I mean, they were pretty amazing this morning, but one of the things is that they're amazing because of the fact that they are little beacons of light and reflections of Christ. And here at Streams, we fully believe that God wants a relationship with them now. Not when they're 20, not when they're 30, not when they're 40, not when they're 18, but He wants to have a relationship with them now. He wants to reveal who He is, His love to them. He wants to work in their lives now. And that He died on the cross for them now. He didn't die on the cross for them when they're 15 or when they're 18. That they are able to have that relationship now. They don't have to wait. There is no, and that's one of the hardest things, right, guys? When you're little, is that you have to wait until you're old enough to do things, right? When you're old enough, you'll be able to do things, right? Like when you're Kenzie's age, you'll be able to have a longer curfew, right? Yeah, they know what I'm talking about. But do you guys remember what it was like when you were a kid? Do you guys remember having that anticipation of having to wait for things? It's really important. God brings us kids to remind us that stuff because we're supposed to enter His kingdom like a kid. And I count it a huge joy and blessing to be able to serve as the director of this ministry because there was a time where I kind of forgot what it was like to be a kingdom kid. And there was a time where I kind of forgot the joy that we're supposed to have here when we come into His presence. It's very easy for us as adults to get caught up on the service and the doctrine and what we're supposed to do because we're adults and we have the gravity of what is going on in the world. It's very easy for us to get capsized with the understanding of real world events and that our bubble that we had when we were their age all of a sudden gets popped. And so it becomes very hard to hold on to that of how to be a child of God and how to come into His presence like a child. And so I thank God for our kids every day because they remind me and they give me that opportunity. So when God kind of called me to serve into the kids ministry, it was kind of an interesting thing because it was an opportunity for healing to happen in my heart. And it was kind of an interesting thing because I had absolutely no intention of ever setting foot in the kids ministry. That was not for me. That was my mom's thing. That was not a me thing. And it's so funny because we as ladies who have pastors as husbands, like we have this pre-set up thing of what it means to be a pastor's wife. And we go, yep, nope, I'm not that pastor's wife. I'm not a pastor's wife. Nope, no, thank you. I don't do that stuff. But God has this amazing thing of showing us how He's given us those gifts. And it's not in the way that we think. And it's not usually the way that we've seen it done because He wants to do something new with us. And that's what God did. He brought me into the kids ministry because He wanted to do something new for our kids. Which has been an amazing journey. And part of that new thing has been setting up. Can we bring up that slide, Dylan, of the kids ministry? Nope, not that one. That's the stat. We'll get there in a minute. That one. Of setting up these three areas that we have for the kids ministry. We have different age groups, which is Noah's Nursery, River Riders, Water Walkers. And the reason why we have those things is because we really focus on three different areas, which is to discover God, to explore God and God's kingdom, which is in River Riders, and then in Water Walkers to apply those kingdom concepts and apply His truth to our lives. So that when you graduate, you're already learning those things and you have a step up. And we're hoping that Dylan, graduating out of this, will have those skills to be able to hold on to what it means to be a kid's king, a kingdom kid and a kid's king and step into adult world and not forget that. Not have to go through the remembrances that sometimes we have to go through. And he'll be able to walk out in that truth and be that light in a way that reminds all of us. We want them to discover these things for themselves and not feel like they have to wait, which is why it's so important for what we do here on graduation or Level Up Sundays, as we're now calling them, that they get to experience how to serve in the Father's house, that they get to try out different things, that they get to understand that they get to practice it now, and we're activating that now so that they can continue to practice these things on their own, so they're ready when God calls them. Amen? Amen. So for our kids' ministry, we pray about what's kind of the focus of where we're going. And a lot of our teachers that kind of heard this one, because we already had our little rah-rah rally session to kind of roll out where we're going for the year. And our key scripture for the year is Philippians 1:27. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so we asked ourselves, what does it mean to live a lifestyle that's worthy of the gospel of Christ? What does it mean to be worthy of Christ? We can toss out this scripture and recite it and give it, you know, a little clean, pretty little bow whenever we want, as something quick that we can pull out as far as what we say we're supposed to attain to, but we really grapple with scripture in here. And we not only just grapple with it in our minds, but in our hearts, and we really walk it out as teachers, because part of your job as a teacher, because it says in the Bible that a teacher is worthy of a double honor, because not only do they know it, but they have to live it. And so we have to model it for our kids. And so I thank God every day for all the ladies and all the guys who step up, because our pastors actually step up and serve in the kids' ministry too, to help connect with them. And they model this stuff every day to our kids. And so it's a real blessing and a real joy that our kids are getting all these really good role models and all these really good examples of what it means to reflect Christ. There's a real treasure that we have here at Streams, and this is completely unique to other places. You might hear little echoes of things at other places, but what God is doing here at Streams is completely unique, and we are so excited. And that's because what God has for our area and what He wants to accomplish in Williamstown, New Jersey, in our tri-state area, we are the only ones who He is equipped to do that. And that's amazing. But it all starts with our hearts. And it all starts with where we're going. So the title of what I'm going to share with you guys today is called The True Condition of the Heart. And when you're in the kids' ministry, you get to see hearts that are raw. You get to see just not only the raw talents, but you get to see, like, humanity in, like, its rawest forms. Like, and it can be intimidating because we're so used to dealing with adults that just kind of fill in the dots. But when you're dealing with kids, you have to fill in those dots for them. So when they ask you why, and then they ask you why again, you might be stumped a little bit. You might be like, what do you mean why? I just told you why. But they don't know. And so they'll ask you why to your why, and another why to that why. Because you have to teach them. You have to guide them. It's not that they're being difficult. They just don't know. And it's easy for us to forget that. But the thing is, that is a reflection of people who are far from God. They don't know God. They don't understand what it is that we do here, or why we even love Him so much. And they will ask us every day why we do the things that we do. They will even go as far as being quite infuriating sometimes, because they don't understand. But if we can remember that we are like God's children, that we are like children, and that we are God's children, we wouldn't get frustrated with a child for not knowing, we need to not get frustrated with them because they don't know. And it's not to belittle them and it's not to look down on them, but it is to kind of put a different light on ourselves of understanding why we do the things that we do, why we interact the way that we do. We have the opportunity not to teach them, but to show them a reality that they have never known, a reality that is completely engrossed and enstrapped and dressed up in grace and love and mercy and truth and honor and justice, but in a way that we can never see it in this world, because it's perfect. It is without any sort of condition. It is without any sort of consequence. It's perfect. There's nothing that can alter it, because it is pure. It is whole. It is complete. And it can be overwhelming. And it can be completely intimidating to encounter something that's pure and complete. Just like children can be overwhelming because we're encountering something pure and innocent. And it's all just a reflection. I find it absolutely amazing. So, now can we bring up that quote? So in dealing with kids, I wanted to understand why this ministry was so important. So, not the quote, the thing. So, in a current Barna study, it indicates that nearly half of all Americans who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior do so before reaching the age of 13, which is 43%. That's a lot of Americans. When you remember that there are millions and millions of people who live in the United States, that is a lot. And that 2 out of 3 born-again Christians, 64%, made that commitment to Christ before their 18th birthday. If we think about this, our kids' ministry has now just become one of the most important ministries, because this is where you're going to get the most opportunity to explain the reality of Christ, what he's done for them, and how much he loves them, and how much they need him. Because after their 18th birthday, that's only 36%. That is a very small number. A lot of people, but still a small number. Something that's not up here, I recently was watching a video that's called Connect by Kurt Cameron. And it said that the average age for children having a smartphone is the age of 10. The average age of a child developing and constructing their reality of who God is and how important he is to their life and what they do is by the age of 13. When I was a teenager, that was between the ages of 18 to 21. So just to give you kind of a reality of how things have accelerated since we were younger, technology has advanced our culture in such a way that our kids are interacting. We basically give them supercomputers in a tiny palm-held size that they have access to all different information, and we forget about that. And they can go anywhere on that smartphone. And that smartphone is helping them construct their reality, helping them construct their understanding, helping them construct and put together their view on things. And one of those things is who God is, how important he is, and what does he actually do? In reading a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart, there's this quote that I'd like to share with you. You can go to the next one. Since there is no such a place of childhood neutrality, your children either worship God or idols. These idols are not small wooden or stone statuaries. They are subtle idols of the heart. The Bible describes such idols using terminology such as fear of man, evil desires, lust, and pride. The idols include conformity to the world, embracing earthly mindsets, and setting affections on things below. What we have in view are any manner of motives, desires, wants, and goals, hopes, and expectations that rule the heart of a child. As your children interact with their childhood experiences, they interact based upon their Godward orientation. Either they respond to life as children of faith who know, love, and serve Jehovah, who's God, or they respond as children of foolishness and unbelief who neither know him or serve him. The child is interacting with the living God. He is either worshiping and serving and growing in the understanding of the implication of who God is, or he, the child, is seeking to make sense of life without a relationship with God. Ted Tripp, who is the author. I know it's a lot of words, but it's really good. When we leave our children to just have technology, we're asking them to make sense of a world on their own. Doesn't necessarily mean that our child is going to have an understanding of who God is, but that doesn't mean that they're not interacting with God. And we have had a lie that has been told to the church, a lie of neutrality, that there is a gray place in our hearts that either there's the black, the white, and the gray, which is you're either completely against God and you're not serving him and you're in some other sort of lifestyle. There's the gray part, which is you love God, but you're still kind of doing what you're doing. And then there's the very white part, which is you serve God, you know God, you're following after God. That gray area is a lie. And we have allowed that to lull us into a place of complacency. We've allowed it to bring us to a point where we bow down and remove ourselves out of a place and a position to be role models to our children and give it to technology and society. We've allowed this lie to come in and effectively remove our authority and our position to help guide, mold, and shape the next generation, and instead usher in a generation that does not fear nor revere God because of this lie. And the thing is that it's simple. It's easy. It's very subtle. This lie of neutrality. Even in the kids' ministry, we even see how it's impacting them now. This lie of neutrality. It brings them to safe places where, well, as long as I don't offend, as long as I don't overstep, as long as I give you space, you will give me space. And the thing is that the reality is that that's not true. The world does not understand Christ nor accept him. They will not give place to our kids who love God and accept him because they didn't accept God. They will not give them space. But this lie of neutrality says that we should be, we can coexist in this gray area. And that's a lie. Because the world does not want to coexist. The world wants us all to be part of the world. And God wants us all to be part of his kingdom. And he's a jealous God, so he's not happy until all of us are part of his kids. Because he loves us that much. But this gray area, it attacks our hearts because it knows that we're out of the issues of our heart, out of the heart, all issues of life flow. And if it can attack our heart, If it can stymie it, if it can hold us back, if it can plug it up, it knows we will live in the gray area. And we will not be a role model of Christ. We will not be a walking example of who he is, of his life, of his power, of what he's done, because we are residing in the gray. And it looks different in every person's life. An area that's gray in my life may not be an area of gray that's in your life. So it makes it very difficult to identify such a subtle lie. And that is why we need the light of Christ to shine even brighter in our lives, in our hearts. And it is why we need to stand up and take back our positions as parents, as adults, as teachers, as role models, and walk out our faith and shine that light, just like the kids were walking around and saying, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine," and going around and giving all of us a little light and driving back that darkness. They were driving back the gray. They were showing and illuminating God's love, God's life, God's character into our lives. So John 1:11-13 says, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, and children not born of natural descent, nor human decision or human will, but born of God." Romans 8:15-17 says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, 'Abba, Father!' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Amen. We need to remember who we are. We need to remember that we are not just on this earth living for ourselves, but we are co-heirs in Christ. We are part of God's family. And so in that means that how we live, what our hearts are filled with, need to be a part of God's kingdom, need to be part of reflecting Christ's character. Everything that is in our hearts needs to be reflecting that, because we are God's kids. God is not human that he would lie, and his scripture is telling us the truth. That you are one of God's kids. You are so loved. You are bought and fought for. That you have a position as his daughter, as his son, up in heaven. And he is so excited that you are there. But he wants you to shine that light. He wants you to resonate his character. He wants you to resonate that you are a kingdom kid. That you are not just someone who's dressed in gray, that you're not just walking about existing, but that you are full of life, that you are full of his power, that you are full of him. When you do that, you take back that position and you kick that lie of neutrality out of your life. And we show our kids, the ones who are watching us, behind us, that not only what is a lie of neutrality, not only that it exists, but how to remove it. So we need adults who cultivate a heart that is a worshiper of God. Because we are interested here at Streams helping our kids develop a heart that is a worshiper of God, that loves God. And so we need adults who are about that as well. We need to link arms with parents and teachers and adults who are modeling that in reality in their life, so that our kids know how to step up, know how to when it's their turn to be up here, when it's their turn to answer the call that God has on their life, that they will step out in faith, in boldness, with courage, because they know who they are, because they know what God has done for them, because they know that they can trust Him. They've seen people who have trusted Him. They've seen people call on His name. They've seen God work as a reality and move. It's not just a theoretical thing for them, but they've seen it. They've experienced that. That is an awesome call for us as adults. That is an awesome call that we need to respond to. And it is intimidating, and it is hard work. It is rough going, I'm not going to lie. There are days where I feel like I am mincemeat sitting before the throne of God and going, God, where is this lie of neutrality in my life? How am I still not reflecting more of you? Please show me, because I want to reflect more of you. I want to be the best example that I possibly can. I want to walk out in the reality of knowing that you speak, knowing that you love, knowing that you rule in power and that it is here now, and showing that so that our kids know that. So our generation knows that. So it's not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Holly, and then it stops there, but it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Pastor, Holly, Nolan, Adrian, the next generation to come, baby Mark, who's yet to be here, but he will be here soon. That they know Him, that they have an experience with Him, and that He is real. When we do this, it's not just for our kids. Because the byproduct is, when we're doing this for our kids, we also are doing it and showing that light to the others who are watching us. There are parents who are watching you. There are friends of your kids who are watching you. There are friends of yours who are watching you. There are family members who are watching you, waiting for you to show that reality, waiting for you to step up and show them the truth. They're almost daring us to show us that reality, to stop embracing that and stop embracing that neutrality and instead move out with that assurity of faith. Because there is nothing more attractive than a confident person. And when our confidence is in Christ, there's something very attractive about that. There's something very, like, it grinds a person, but at the same time draws them, because they don't understand. They're like, why can't you just be like me? But they keep coming back to us and keep talking to us. And it's like, because I don't want to live like that. I want to live here. There's a different reality that we want to attain to, because we are kingdom kids. We are not part of this world. We are part of His kingdom. We are sons and daughters of the God Most High. So Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And we're going to go to 1 Timothy 4:15-16 and 10. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Preserve them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the reason. Go ahead to 10. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. We need to walk out our salvation. We need to wrestle with it. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. And we need to kick out this lie of neutrality. We do this by exposing it through four really amazing steps. Knowing who God is. God is truth. God is love. Anything that opposes the reality that is in God, when you know and you read his scripture and you know who he is and you fully believe that, and you go, no, God wouldn't lie to me. There's nothing that the enemy or the world can say because it is immovable in your heart. And so you remove the neutrality because you are now choosing to look to God. And you are removing anything that will cause you to come into complacency because you are physically choosing to believe the truth that is in God and not question that, which builds faith. By understanding who we are in God, when you sit there and go, no, I am a daughter of the king. No, I am a son of the king. No, I am a co-heir in Christ, and there is more for me than this. Amen. I don't live in this reality. I live in the kingdom reality. When you do that, this lie of neutrality has to leave. There is no position that a lie of neutrality can take if you honestly, truly take on and believe that you are a kingdom kid. Because if you believe that you're a kingdom kid, then you know that the enemy is not your friend. Then you know the world is not your friend. Then you know all that it has to offer you is hardship and sacrifice and remorse and regret. But you know that God, your Father, has everything to offer you, which is good and plentiful and for abundance and to help you live a life abundantly. By developing a heart that reveres God and not our desires. This is a tough one. Because there are days where I am like, I just want to sit here and do nothing. I don't want to be up to 3 o'clock in the morning typing out notes. I don't want to be up wrapping presents. I just want to sit. And I'm sure we all have had those moments, especially moms, because I know that you guys crave those like 5 minutes in the throne room, we'll call it, and lock that door so that nobody comes in and intrudes on you. Because sometimes you feel like you need those moments to yourself. What about taking those moments to be before God? What about allowing him to pour into you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to fill you up with his everlasting life, that it will enhance you and be able to carry you through every hardship, even though you might be a mom on 2 hours of sleep and a baby kicking at your side, and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or not. And you go before God with all honesty. And he does something amazing for moms. You guys are able to endure. You guys are able to endure so much. I look forward to joining you one day. And lastly, being open to the leading and conviction of the Holy Spirit. We do not like the word conviction. No, conviction means we did something wrong. Conviction means we are bad and we are going in time out. Conviction means that everything on the inside of you is working exactly the way God created it to be. We were not made to want or desire earthly things. We were made to crave and worship and desire intimacy with a living, true, awesome, holy God, and to crave the things of the kingdom. To be before his throne and to be at his feet and to crave every good thing that he has for us. I remember being taught about how like conviction meant like I was wrong and that I needed to repent, and repentance used to be this big, huge thing. And then I also remember getting enlightened later about how repentance is just a doorway for you to agree with God and remove the gray or the wrong teaching or the worldly desire that you are holding on to so he can fill you up with more of him. And when that was presented to me like that, I was like, whoa, sign me up for repentance and conviction. Where is it? I want more of God. It doesn't become so scary when we realize that it's not a judgment. It is mercy. It is grace for us to come before his throne and receive his forgiveness and remove judgment. How awesome is he? That he gives us the space and the time to learn and to go along with his leading. That we're not automatically stamped. Nope. You were defected. Into the fire you go. You failed on Inspector 29. Done. Little angel carries you over. Into the furnace you go. No, he goes, you need more time with me. You need more time in my presence. You need more time to learn how to hear my voice. I need to woo you even harder so that your heart longs for me and only me. That amazes me. When we put all four of these steps together, this lie of neutrality cannot exist in our world or in our hearts. When we put all four of these things together and we walk this out in reality before our kids, before our friends, before our community, it impacts lives. It offends the mind, because go repent to someone who has no idea what repentance is. Try and defend someone who they sit there and say that is completely no good, but you know that God has called them good because he doesn't make anything bad. You're going to get a load of stuff. People telling you that you are naive, that you tripped down the naivety well, and that this person has pulled the wool over your eyes. No, I'm just speaking truth. That God said that this person was good, and that is what they are. And maybe you need to be that person speaking that truth into their life. Amen. So today, we're going to do something that we do in the kids' ministry. And I hope you guys enjoy it. We call them faith activations. Yes! Our kids get excited with faith activations, right, guys? Yes! We gotta clean out your ears, Bubby, then. It's okay. So, I want you guys to close your eyes right now. And I want you guys to ask, God, where is there a lie of neutrality in my life? Where have I allowed the gray to settle in my life? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you an image. If he gives you a word. Maybe you hear him speaking to you. Maybe he just shows you something. That's okay. Guys, we should be closing our eyes and asking, where have you allowed yourselves to become neutral and not shine the love of God in your life? Are there areas where you decide that you want to do your own thing when God's telling you to do something else? And when you have it, I want you to write it down. Okay? You can go get your notebooks. But when you get it, I want you to write it down. For us, I want you guys to think about this. If there's something that you need prayer for, come on up. We'll pray for you. We'll get this lie of neutrality right out of our lives. If there's something that God wants you to handle, I want you to find someone and share that with them so they can pray with you, but they can also help encourage you as you walk through that. Because you're not alone. You have brothers and sisters here who love you. That if you need to actually literally, physically, like, I need to remove this little, like, this video game system out of my life, like, I want you to go talk to somebody. Like, it's a physical thing that you gotta do. If it's something that you need prayer for, just come up front. If it's something that you need to physically do, I want you to find someone here in a church and reach out to them and share it so they can help encourage you over the week, whether it's Facebook, whether it's, you know, a phone call, so that you know you're not alone in this, so that you can literally remove that lie of neutrality. And Mr. Ken, can we get just like a song like Tremble? Tremble would be good. And we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this time. We thank you that you are calling us to be role models for your children. We thank you that you are calling us, Lord God, to step into being sons and daughters and reflect more of your love and your life to this world. That you are reminding us that we have a position that is a heavenly position. You are reminding us that our reality is not this world, but a heavenly reality. That you are reminding us today that we are more than what we are in this world. We are sons and daughters, more than conquerors. We are teachers and brothers and sisters and co-laborers for your kingdom. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord God. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to share with us now if there is any area of gray that is in our life that we've allowed to cause us to become conformed to this world, to adopt worldly mindsets, to elevate our own personal desires over you, Lord God. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts. We invite you to reveal any image you desire to reveal to us here and now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.